Well, having heard that, I wouldn't trust giving Commonwealth total control of funding for health in this country. Western Australia would dip out very sorely. We're dipping out now. We've got a state government trying to defend us. Ladies and gentlemen, distinguished guests, and all of you out there who provide valuable service in the aged care sector now, I know there are many of you in this room who live and breathe it and do it every day. Just over 2 weeks ago, about 2 weeks ago, one of my close friends lost her father. He was just over 100 years old. He lived independently in a unit and was the carer for his wife, who is also 100 years old and virtually blind and very poor of hearing. His loss upset the delicate balance of their coexistence. The family now must carefully consider the care for mum, who would best cope and function if she remains in the familiar environment of her unit. Has the family prepared for the funeral and cared for a grieving mother who had lost her partner of 73 years, their minds were preoccupied with how to best achieve ongoing care for this frail but mentally capable woman. What do you do? Where do you go? What will happen now? And this story is becoming more commonplace, though many of us will talk about parents of loved ones in their 80s, not as centurions. We've heard all the numbers today. How many of us in this room will still be here in 2055? 78,000 Australians will be 100 years of age. Do the math while you sit there. We are all faced with the problem of how to care and support, deliver quality of life and quality medical care for our respected aged population. It's not just about making sure that they will not need hospital admission. It's about ensuring that there is the right place to go if and when they need medical care, that they can access that care, and that we can care for them. It is a question and responsibility for all of us on a personal level, as a community, for those in government, and for us as the medical profession. We must act to ensure that Australians can, as they age, enjoy access to timely and high quality medical care, that they have somewhere safe and comfortable to live, that they have support at home and have transport to the doctor and other providers when needed. And when they cannot be safe at home anymore, that there is provision of more supervised living, which also has ready access to medical care when required. Some may need the services and level of dependent living provided in a residential aged care facility. They will need trained nurses on site, appropriate monitoring and administration of medicine and care of their nutrition and their bodies, and they will need the ongoing care of a doctor to ensure that their medical status is as good as it can be. And if they do require hospitalisation, we have an obligation and a responsibility to have the appropriate beds for them. After hospital admission, when it is clinically appropriate for an elderly patient to be discharged, then we must provide transport to a subacute or step-down facility, or provide transition care or transfer home, ensuring that support is in place. All of these needs must be met, and one cannot come at the expense of the other. Clearly, Australia needs more beds in residential aged care, subacute care and transition beds, and equally clearly, Australia desperately needs thousands more hospital beds. The investments need to be made across the sector of services for our senior Australians. We cannot deny that ageing is associated with the need for more medical care. We have the increase in population with increased need. We have to deal with it and put in place best practice solutions. Disability and inability to provide support to compensate for disability is what drives the elderly into a residential aged care facility. They can't do it anymore. And this may occur when partners or family cannot support or do not exist to do so, or when deterioration occurs. And much acute deterioration can result in acute hospital admission. Essential care that must be delivered. A stroke, a fall, a fracture, a cardiovascular event, heart attack, arrhythmia, acute cardiac failure, gastrointestinal bleed, dementia that decompensates and results in risk or injury. Acute hospital beds are needed. When independent living is finally balanced, an illness or trauma may tip the balance, and even though many may want to return and stay at home, the difficult decision to move into a care facility of some kind must be made. Some are more fortunate and have planned arrangements. But for many, it is crisis. They are sick, they are frightened, and their life is completely going to change. Rehabilitation and recovery may take months when it is possible. Return to home may be a goal, but intermediary care is required. Where do you go? The ability to shower and dress, cook, purchase provisions, feed oneself, manage one's affairs must be re-achieved. It's a big task. This requires rehabilitation and the care of a team of doctors, nurses and allied health services with expertise. And while this occurs, they may not be able to live independently but are not ready for a residential aged care facility. The establishment of subacute geriatric assessment and rehabilitation units to meet the community's needs are required, with clearly defined responsibility for funding. They would be fully staffed, with continuity of medical care, dedicated facilities, a logical and seamless step between hospital and home. The AMA would like to see funding for these subacute services as part of the Australian Healthcare Agreements, and perhaps even private health insurers can assist in covering these services for patients. We need more step-down and rehab care and more home support. In both areas, the elderly need access to good medical care so they can avoid the bounce back into hospital where possible. But we must acknowledge that there will be a need for hospital admissions, and these patients have an equal right to access that care with respect and dignity, not ramped in an ambulance or frightened in an emergency department corridor. When there is a lack of step-down care or residential patients, patients will stay in a hospital bed for a longer period. We must not resort to throwing them out into the street and view them as a burden on our health sector. We must not make them feel that way. Community aged care packages have expanded significantly over the last year, and these are designed to provide the equivalent of low-care residential support to people still living in their own homes. The government has said it will open the additional 2,000 transition care places over the next 4 years. This is an important initiative. There is also a need for subacute beds before the transition interface is accessed. Many elderly patients do need an extended period of medical care after the acute episode and before they are ready for transition and rehabilitation. There's a great deal of ambiguity about where transition care should take place. Is it in the hospital? Is it in a residential aged care facility, a person's home, or a dedicated ward or facility? How and where can we deliver these services, and how soon? There also needs to be a firm statement of what resources are required for transition care. The ambiguity must be clarified, or it can lead to inconsistent models of care and variable outcomes for patients, for those people that we are talking about. Access to appropriate medical assessment, treatment and management is essential if we are to maintain high quality medical care in Australia. This has contributed to the longevity of Australians and in turn has generated the aged care demands. Continued access to medical care then also in turn reduces hospital admissions and supports independent living. The AMA believes that in the review of accreditation of residential aged care facilities, that provision of medical care should become an accreditation standard. Many of you will balk at that. The accreditation criteria currently does not demand that medical attention is intrinsic to that facility, nor does it demand that it provides the facilities for medical care to be provided. For example, the treatment room with appropriate stock such as sterile gloves, catheters, wound dressing materials, the information technology for patient medical records and prescribing. This will need additional government funding to the aged care providers. There are models in the world with medical and rehabilitation facilities and aged care facilities co-located. It works for the people. Medical care, we believe, should be a benchmark for accreditation. The AMA also believes that it is necessary for the accreditation standards to address the staff ratio between registered nurses and patients in aged care facilities. The ANS policy on residential aged care staffing and standards states that fully funded and regulated benchmarks should be established to enable the provision of sufficient nursing staff levels and mix. A minimum of 4.5 hours of nursing care per resident per day. 24-hour registered nurse cover where there is at least one resident receiving a high level of care. You're all snickering and grinning at the impossibilities of that. That is what the patient needs. Appropriate nursing staff in residential aged care facilities mean that the utilisation and effectiveness of doctor attendance to the facility is optimised, and medical management of the patient in the residential aged care facility is enabled without the need for hospital admission. This will need to be funded. There is under-recognition of trained staff in residential aged care facilities. Remuneration is up to 30% less than in other sectors. Wage parity must be applied. I do not think that the federal government cost of $100 a day per person will underpin the quality of the improvements that the AMA desires. Elderly people in aged care facilities or in their homes need to have the barriers of access to medical care broken down. Medicare rebates for patients must reflect the cost of delivering that care. The provision of transport for patients to attend a general practice, their specialist doctor or their allied health providers will break down another barrier and extend access to care. The mantra is that there are too many elderly people in public hospitals. They are in those hospital beds because they feel secure and safe, as do their families. We must offer them the same sense of security in a residential aged care facility or in step-down care or at home. We must provide certainty that our elderly are in a safe situation, backed up with medical care, and that security will in turn be most efficient and cost-effective for our community. Whilst the function for government has a Minister for Ageing and a Minister for Health, for the AMA and for patients, this is a continuum. When the Prime Minister made his statement that in health, the buck stops with me, for us, that includes caring for elderly Australians. The challenge is to fund, to deliver across that continuum.